Hello, everybody, and welcome to the British Invasion Podcast. My name is Darren Guttridge. I'm joined tonight by Mr. Hayden Gleed.
Hello, everybody.
And we are here to speak about a few topics that we've kind of missed out on due to the both of our, what shall we call it, hiatuses from the internet?
Yeah, vacation from internet.
Well, mine was actually a vacation away from the internet, whereas you just had yours...
Terminated because my landlord is a douche. I'm just going to come out and say it straight away. I could sugarcoat it, but you know.
I was struggling for the words to say there, but now if you just want to throw your landlord under the bus, that's fine.
I would like to throw my landlord under the bus, to be quite honest. Literally.
So much anger, and that's not good for our topics tonight. We are going to be talking about our thoughts on the upcoming WWE draft, now that SmackDown is moving to Tuesdays and going live. And we're also going to be talking about the raft of WWE releases and how they can affect Ring of Honor. You may be thinking, well, why aren't you doing your Ring of Honor podcast, Darren? Hey, that is because, once again, ROH has failed to put their TV show up at an appropriate time. I don't think there's been a bomb scare, so they have no excuse this week, and therefore we have nothing to give you. So, once again, if you want to blame somebody, blame Ring of Honor.
And we can call them douches as well.
Hayden just wants to call everyone douches today, and I'm okay with that.
I'm full of anger.
And you will be a douche if you don't decide to sign up for ProWrestling.net.
Nice.
Was that a nice turnaround?
That was a nice segue.
Good times. Yes, this is the all-access version of the .net podcast. But if you want to sign up for memberships, not only do you get mine and Hayden's ROH podcast when ROH bothers to put the TV show up on time, but you also get access to a whole slew of other podcasts, including the .net weekly audio show, the flagship audio of ProWrestling.net, where Jason Pell and a guest, either one of the contributors to the site or special guests like Brian Fitz or Jim Ross from time to time, and they will go through the big topics of the week, the big talking points. He'll sometimes have first run news on there that hasn't been mentioned anywhere else on the site. You'll also get access to written first access news for members only, entry into the members forum, and plenty of other benefits besides. And you can get all of that for just $7.50 a month, or $66 if you want to take the yearly option. It's a great, great service. Both me and Hayden were members before we joined the site. And as we always tell you when we're on the free audio show, it really is a great deal.
Yeah, definitely. Being a .NET member, I was getting some of the best audio out there for wrestling, and just a fun community in the forum as well. So I would definitely recommend that that anyone listening to this takes the plunge, give us a go, and I'm sure you won't be disappointed.
And who doesn't want to listen to us every week?
Oh well, that's obvious. You know, let's be fair. You know, $7.50 just to listen to us every month is worth the money alone.
And lest we not point out that very soon these podcasts may take on a slightly more edgy and aggressive edge, as hopefully some of our American colleagues may know this, probably not, but we'll inform you anyway. The European Football Championships are about to kick off in a little over a week's time. It'll be a week tomorrow. So this is going out on Friday. It'll be a week today that the tournament kicks off in France. My team, England, always qualifies for the Euros, except for that time a few years ago when we didn't. But Hayden's team, Wales, they've qualified for the first time in over 50 years, and by gosh, we've been drawn in the same group.
Yeah, it's gonna be tasty, and on top of that, we briefly discussed it beforehand. We are actually going to be recording a podcast, probably an ROH podcast, if it's on the website, straight after the England-Wales match, which could mean that me and Darren are not talking to each other, for depending on what happens in the soccer match.
Basically, we may have to invite Zim onto the podcast to act as like a middleman to say, tell Hayden I thought that tag match was kind of lame, etc, etc, etc. Because, yeah, this will be our first time ever in a competitive scenario against each other at a tournament, in my lifetime anyway.
Yeah, so let's be fair, $7.50 to listen to me and you argue or to have a mediator in between us is going to be entertainment alone.
Most people think that the best part of our show is the kind of bubbling undercurrent of xenophobia. So that being brought to the full boil in the, you know, arena of football is just going to be fantastic.
And let's be fair, most of the xenophobic behaviour comes from the English side of this podcast, but I digress.
there was no need for that. Perhaps we could be drafted onto different podcasts. Which brings me onto the WWE draft that was announced in a press release, not really the most showy way of doing this, but yeah, a press release was sent out whilst I was on vacation, I think, announcing that SmackDown was going to be moving from its Thursday night slot over in America, moving to a Tuesday night slot now, and it's going live. First things first, I just realised that means that the UK no longer gets preempted SmackDown. That's a little bit annoying. I haven't watched it in 3 years, but that's a little annoying.
Yeah, it's going to be live on Sky Sports at the same time that it's broadcast in America, which I think is the first time it's happened. So it's going to be 1 a.m. for us, similar to Raw. So if any of the British listeners are that way inclined, they can start watching SmackDown live the next day after Raw, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And we're not going to get into if you think this is kind of content overload, because I think it's pretty obvious that it is.
Yeah.
Just so much, like I said, I haven't been watching SmackDown for 3 years because I just don't have time to watch SmackDown. Having said that, if there was ever a way for them to get it back on course, it would be doing a draft, because I have very, very fond memories of the WWE draft. That was kind of the peak of my wrestling fandom happened in that stretch of time where there was two separate brands. And I have quite fond memories of it. I don't know about you, Hayden. I think you took a little bit of hiatus during the roster split. But do you have equally fond memories, or are you a little more down on the concept?
To be quite honest, the hiatus happened because of the brand split.
Ah, okay.
So this could be interesting now. Just out of curiosity, what was it that you remember fondly about the previous brand split?
Well, the thing I liked about it the most was it did give two very distinct shows to watch, and to be fair, back in those days I was relying on a VCR recorder, so Raw wasn't always a weekly watch. It would sometimes be, you know, taped over or something would go wrong, and I don't know, I just liked the feel of SmackDown was at a more convenient time. It was on a Saturday morning, on an ideal time to watch wrestling, you know what I mean? America used to have Saturday morning wrestling. It was a big thing over there. It's kind of moved away now, but over in the UK, Sky One and Sky Sports One would always put SmackDown on about 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning. And when I was, you know, 13, going on 17, whenever the brand split ended, that was high times for me, because I would just wake up, watch Soccer AM, get all my football goodness out of the way, and then tune in, watch SmackDown. It had great wrestlers. It highlighted new and interesting people that we hadn't really seen before. All the kind of stalwarts, other than The Undertaker, were over on Raw. And that was when Triple H was ruining the roost over there. It was probably a lot of coincidental. I don't know how much it was down to the actual concept of the brand split, or just, you know, fortunate timing of having Edge and Eddie Guerrero and all those sorts on SmackDown. But I have fond memories of it. So when they announced it was going to happen again, I kind of got excited.
I do have some fond memories. The era you talked about then, when I think it was Paul Heyman was in control of SmackDown, It did feel different. It did feel fresh. But I think what my biggest issue was, after a while, it just felt that there was no distinction between the shows, and it just felt a bit samey to me. Because going back to when the split happened, I distinctly remember Vince McMahon saying that it'll be a case of, if The Rock is on Monday and Stone Cold Steve Austin is on Thursday, then you have to tune in to watch your favourite on both shows. And I like that concept. It does make sense. But by the time that they actually started implementing it, the product to me wasn't as hot. So it was kind of dragging out two bad products over two different shows. And it just felt at the time that it was a watered down product that was split over two different nights. And to me, I'm worried that that could happen again. Now, usually when it comes to things like this, I'm usually the first person to be positive and say, let's see how it plays out, and we go from there. But I don't think at this time WWE are set. I've got the strong enough roster to pull off two distinct brands. And unless they do something that distinguishes each brand from each other, I'm just worried, and I know we're not going to talk necessarily about content overload, but I'm just worried that over a course of 5 hours over two nights, it's just going to be the same watered-down product.
Okay, well, my first point is, it's already a watered-down, poor product stretch over two nights. It's just at the moment you can ignore SmackDown because it is a nothing show.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They're already in that situation. I think this is actually a good step towards remedying. It's quite a drastic step towards remedying that situation and making SmackDown important again to split the roster down the middle. But I think there's a lot of positives for it. Depending on how they go about it, there could be a lot of positives to come out of this that will actually help the product. It will actually create a bit of an upswing. Because I'll be honest, just a quick aside, when I came back from vacation, I had no interest in catching up with Raw. I had to force myself after I watched literally everything else that I had taped that week, and the week after, actually, it took me 2 weeks to get round to watching wrestling again. And I was bored by 90% of the product. And I understand that, yeah, wrestling, the quality of the wrestling is quite high now. There's a lot of faces on there that I like, but I found myself being really bored because it just didn't feel special. Everyone was slotted where they need to be, the bulk of which were in the mid-card, few lower card acts, and then whatever Roman Reigns is doing is basically on the top. And now John Cena's back, whatever he's doing is on the top. You make that split, I think it can help over on the SmackDown side. There's some people that you feel they're just kind of stuck in the middle of Raw, they're not really doing anything. They may be given a chance to shine on SmackDown.
But you could use the argument that when they went to a 3-hour Raw, they had exactly the same opportunity, and quite frankly, they've blown it. They've got enough time. Most as you've said yourself, most of Raw at the moment feels like filler. So if that's the case, and they can't give new people opportunities, then and if we're to take that Vince McMahon is going to be overseeing everything about SmackDown, then it's just going to be exactly the same as it is now, but over two different shows as opposed to one which you essentially have to watch, and one that is essentially missable because it's the same people as you would see on a Monday.
I'm not liking this conversation, Hayden, because it's making me a little bit down on the draft now. Like, I was excited, but now I'm thinking, he has got a point. Now if, like, say Sammy gets drafted out of SmackDown, but everyone else I like is on Raw, I'm just not going to be watching Sami Zayn because I won't wade through the rest of the product just to watch a Sami Zayn match.
I'm sorry.
You ruined it. Well, let's try and look at the positives, Hayden. Yes, yeah. Try. Let's say.
I think the thing is, Darren, that I lived through the last one where I was a bit down on the product anyway, and I'm being overly negative, and I know I am. So listeners, I do know I'm being overly negative, and Darren, I'm sorry, and I'm going to give you a podcast hug. There you go.
Well, thanks, babe. Thanks. Cheers. Okay, well, let me lay out some potential positives. They're going to mirror what the positives were the first time around with the draft, but just hear me out. Okay, let's say you've got... they split directly down the middle, and they actually do a good job of balancing the two shows. You have perhaps Roman over on Raw, and they send, God forbid, they send John Cena over to SmackDown. So this is the John Cena show. Over there's the Roman Reigns show. Here we go. First of all, I like that it may be them acknowledging that, yes, they have messed up with 3-hour Raws, they haven't given enough people chances, and they need to force their hand to do it, to try again, but this time actually, because they didn't have to commit to pushing anybody new with 3-hour Raws, it just means they could have longer matches and have more filler. This does force their hand more. They're going to have to build characters up, utilise people better, if they're ever going to hope to have a successful SmackDown show. That's one positive. Two, there is the chance that if Vince McMahon is being smart, he will see, right, I need to get the next generation ready. Because God forbid this happens, but should Vince McMahon drop dead tomorrow, then they won't know what to do because no one has experience of running Raw. They haven't had experience of running Raw for the past 25 years. If he gives some of the people he has potential, like probably Triple H, but others as well that have talent that he feels are up-and-comers, you put them on SmackDown, you condition them how to run a live show, how to build characters, how to build storylines, what matches to put where, etc. Then when the day comes that Vince McMahon does step down, then he hasn't got to be worried anymore. There will be people to replace him. And should they mess up, okay, but they've only just messed up on SmackDown. Raw's still the flagship, Raw's still going to be okay. That's another positive. And again, it did work for some amount of time, having the two separate brands. I don't want the rivalry between the two. That always annoyed me. Like, that shouldn't really happen. Like, I don't really care whether SmackDown people hate Raw people and vice versa. That just bores me.
And that's the thing, because it was so manufactured, it's kind of self-defeating in a way.
Yes, that was bad. I don't want that to happen. But there was a good amount of time where both shows were firing all cylinders, or when one was bad, the other one, usually inversely, would be good. So if you're like, well, I'm not digging Raw right now, I'm going to kind of tune that out and push it to one side, but SmackDown's getting some really good reviews right now, I'll move over to that. In the same way that all these kind of underling companies are working right now, well, TNA sucks, but Lucha Underground's good, I'll go watch Lucha Underground. ROH is dipping, I've heard good things about NXT, etc., etc., etc. That could be good for them, I think.
And this is the thing, you know, because essentially, because they abandoned the brand split, obviously at some point they felt that it was no longer working. So they know the reasons why it wasn't working, or what they believe the reason it wasn't working. So on the positive side of things, they have got the experience of having the brand split, the good things and the bad things. So let's hope that they take those lessons that they've had, and they do make both shows special, because that is my only major concern, is the fact that, and I know I've said it before, but if you're going to have two different shows, they don't necessarily have to compete with each other in any sort of way, as we just said, but they have to feel slightly different, because especially being on consecutive nights, you just simply can't have 5 hours of filler shows. That essentially one or two good things and the rest is just filler.
That will be horrendous. But quite frankly, that's how I feel about the product right now. Yeah. So things can only get better, Hayden.
I believe there's a song like that.
There probably is. But I don't genuinely think that things could get much more stagnant than they are right now. I really am struggling to find any amount of optimism or reason to really watch the main product. This will give it at least a few weeks of respite. I will be like, right, I'm going to tune in SmackDown because I want to see, you know, what they're doing differently. Are they shooting in different venues? Are they shooting it a different way? Are they going more wrestling heavy? Are they telling more modern stories, etc., etc., etc.? That's enough to entice me for at least a month. Depending on what they're going to do with the live specials, which is a question I'll come to in a second, I'll at least give them one pay-per-view cycle, if not two, to say, right, you've got a chance, impress me. What? Let's just address that right now. What do you think they're going to do with the live specials? Are we going to keep it both both brands having been on the same show, or are we going to go back to the doldrums of having brand-specific shows?
To be quite honest with you, I would prefer if they had brand-specific shows, only because, well, there's two reasons. One was an idea that Brian Fritz came up with on the .NET Weekly show, which was the fact that with the possibility of moving the live shows down to possibly 2 hours, it's nothing that's been discussed or reported, but just the simple idea that if you had a brand-specific live special and you cut it down to 2 hours, then it might work that way. And on top of that, if you have a brand specific pay-per-view and then they only come together for say SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, etc., then you've essentially got 2 months to build to your brand specific pay-per-view. And if it's only 2 hours, again, I'm not reporting it. No one's reporting it. It's just a simple idea that Brian Fritz threw out there, and I'm just repeating it now. Then it means that the live specials are just that. They're more special.
I think the network model opens up my eyes more to this possibility, because when it was, I had to fork out money. I was just like, I'm not going to fork out money for a SmackDown pay-per-view. That's just not going to happen. The network model can help ease that in pretty much. You can have, say they have a raw show on the Sunday, that then that week you then have a big SmackDown show going up against it 2 days later. That's one way you can do it. It's as long as the special is met with a more hyped up and packed opposite show that comes on the day after or the day after that, that can help. Because it worked well with NXT. That's all. I hope this, by the way, if brand-specific pay-per-views mean the end of NXT Live specials, I'm going to hit the goddamn roof.
I doubt it will. I doubt it will.
If TakeOver is actually the end, as it's being called, I am going to be irate. Surely they're not that stupid.
It is interesting that that has been named that.
It does make sense in the context of the Finn Balor-Samoa Joe feud.
Yeah.
But the way Triple H said it and what wrestling sites have kind of glommed onto, does this mean the end of the NXT Live specials? But I don't know what you replace them with. Unless they're really going to incorporate NXT into SmackDown and have the kind of weird quasi-dual-branded thing going on where the Raw, say that you have the Raw Live Specials just as Raw Live Specials, but then the SmackDown Live Specials become SmackDown and NXT Live Specials at the same time. That could be odd.
It could possibly be a fantastic idea, but it, more than likely, if it did go down that route, would be just a complete mess.
I wasn't saying that was a good idea, Hayden. That's a very bad idea.
I'm just thinking from a revolutionary point of view, from thinking outside the box point of view. Mm-hmm. But I just think I do think it would be a complete mess. So I think we are possibly looking into it too much. The title, when you said it did sort of go, ooh, that was it. But then talking about it, I can't see any possible way that they would fit NXT into the SmackDown model.
Fingers crossed. Well, I'm going to throw a big thing onto you now. Let's do some drafting.
Oh dear lord!
I'm going to give you. Tell you what, do you want to have Raw or do you want to have SmackDown?
Ooh.
Or do you want to have both? Because my question would be, would you want to pick your top three baby faces for both brands and then your top three heels for both brands? The mid card can sort itself out later on, but if you were going to do it right now, who would you want to place and where and why?
Right, okay. It's a little bit different and a little bit away from where they've been positioned, but I would have Seth Rollins as my top babyface facing a heel Roman Reigns.
That'd be on Raw, I presume?
I think that would be Raw. That would be the flagship show. I would have, on the babyface side, to fill that out, I would possibly have Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking more along the lines of building up my own brand as opposed to thinking of both brands. So this is probably going to be too one-sided. But Kevin Owens on the heel side.
Yep.
And then I'll have to think about the other two. How about yourself?
Well, I'd have Roman. I don't think they're going to be changing him here anytime soon. So I presume Roman would be a lead babyface on Raw. If that's the case, as I said earlier, I would put John Cena over on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Give that brand a big push out the gate with John Boy coming back to the brand he debuted on. So during the draft split. So that would be a my key babyfaces in place. Underneath them, I think on the Raw side, I would want Bray Wyatt as my second babyface. I think that's where he goes. I think people want to cheer for him, and I think it's a bit pointless to try and push against that. And then when Luke Harper returns, he can come in as a heel on the opposite brand, maybe taking the Wyatt family with him. So that's where I put Bray. Secondary babyface on SmackDown, that's where I slot Sami Zayn. I think that's the best place for him. Dean, I'm undecided between Dean and Cesaro, where they go for the third place babyface. They can go on either brand at the moment, really. In terms of heels, I leave Seth on Raw as your lead heel. I think he's going to be the best heel in that company. If not, it will be Kevin Owens, who I'm also going to leave over on Raw. I think he is a phenomenal talent. They're still going to want Raw to be the flagship. I leave him over there. I put AJ over on SmackDown.
Yep, that's exactly what I was about to say.
Mm-hmm. We've Rusev as well over there.
Oh, good call. So would you keep the US champion on SmackDown and Intercontinental champion on Raw, or would you have them sort of float in between the brands?
I'm in two minds about this. Actually, no. When it comes to the IC and the US, I do think they need to be on separate brands.
Yeah.
I think. Well, this is one thing I want to say. I want these drafts to be more lucid. Like, if there is a good reason for someone to come over to Raw, they make a storyline reason, say, okay, so and so is now on Raw, so and so has now been on SmackDown. General manager, shake hands, done deal. I'd also stagger the draft. Maybe have like a kind of small draft, 6 months in, just to freshen things up.
Like a transfer window that we have in UK.
Yes, like the January transfer window, you have a chance just after SummerSlam to kind of reshuffle your deck, get everything ready for WrestleMania. I'd have US and IC titles set. Tag and world champion. Ooh, would I want the world champion to float? If they're not going to create a second belt, then yes, have the world champion float between the two. Same thing with the tag champions. I don't think we need to go back to the time of two tag titles. I'm open to the idea of two world champions. I think that worked really well early on, because then you give somebody that world title on SmackDown, it cements them as a big deal without making them the guy. You know what I mean?
Now, you see, I would only keep the one champion. The only reason is, I agree, in principle, having the two champions works, and that's the way it should be. But they've only just—it feels like they've only just merged them. Mm-hmm. They only just unified them. So it kind of—I don't know—it just kind of feels too soon to sort of pull them apart again.
Okay, but could you say they keep it on Roman? Could you envision a time where they have Roman on a SmackDown program as world champion, and therefore no world champion over on Raw?
That's a very good point. And
what I'm saying.
I do think the fact that you've got Roman against Seth coming up at the next live special, mm-hmm. and the fact that pretty soon afterwards is going to be the split, I think that's the perfect opportunity to have essentially a non-finish, but at the same time create two new champions.
That could be a very good way around it. As much as I would love them to make the IC title the secondary belt and have that be like essentially the world championship off SmackDown,
yeah,
that's just not going to happen at this juncture. We've said it for years. It's been in my entire time watching wrestling, the IC title has always been lamented of like, oh, it should mean more. So I'm just going to give up on that concept.
Can I just say, Darren, now we're talking about this, because I haven't had much chance to actually sit down and think about it, but now we're talking about it, reverse to how you was earlier on, I'm actually more excited just thinking about the possibilities.
Yes. Come over to my side, Hayden. We have cake. Yes.
I'm on a diet, so if you've got rice cakes.
Oh, well, I can't eat cake because it has milk in it, so we're both screwed. There we go. And my other idea would be, then it comes down to the women's champion. Now, I don't mind that floating. I think that could help its prestige if it's taken in the same breath as the world champion who's floating. But it might be another good idea to bring back another relic of the SmackDown time. You have the women's championship over on Raw, and you bring back a cruiserweight title. Put that over on SmackDown. That's that unique selling point versus the women on Raw. And they're just doing the Global Cruiserweight Series. They're not close-minded to the idea of a cruiserweight division anymore.
Exactly. It'd make perfect sense. Perfect timing.
Yep. They're two unique divisions, separate to each brand. They're two USPs. That could be a really great selling point. I think then you don't have to kind of, melt down the Divas division into two splits. Like, I don't think there's enough talent in there at the moment and enough characters in there to really justify two separate brands, especially with this the women's tag title. I'm not a fan of that idea. I don't think that can be sustained as anything meaningful right now. I think you consolidate that as a big part of Raw, which it would be considering the amount of people they would have on Raw over 3 hours. They would have to pay a lot of attention to the women division, and then conversely you have the SmackDown cruiserweight division over on the other brand.
And what I would say, just for the women's tag team title, I would say I agree with you. It's not sustainable right now. But I think with the amount of talent that's being produced through NXT and the quality of the talent, I think 5 years time perhaps. I think it'll be good then. But definitely the draft at least is getting people talking. It's getting people buzzing about the product again. So. You know, mm-hmm. I know I was very negative about it, and again, it all stems from my memories of how I didn't particularly enjoy it last time. But at the same time, it is getting people talking, it is getting people buzzing, so at the end of the day, you know, they're doing their job right, you know?
Mm-hmm. See, the draft episode of Raw was always fun. I like that'll probably be a network special. They'll probably do it that way now, which could be equally fun. But yeah, lots of opportunities open to us at the moment, and a lot of opportunities open to the recently released WWE wrestlers.
Oh, I'm liking these segues.
I am doing really well today. I am so proud of myself. Yeah, the big list. They had a black. Was it a Friday? It happened on. I can't remember.
It was a Friday.
A Black Friday happened. We had a lot of people going out the door. Most of which I will admit were kind of cannon fodder. A lot of, you know, the Alex Riley's and the Hornswoggles of the world. There were some interesting picks in there, though. Namely, Cody Rhodes being the big one. We kind of knew way back how it was going to happen, and the writing seemed to be on the wall for Damian Sandow. But those are three big people that really were over with the internet wrestling crowd, I feel. And... Yeah. Whilst I don't feel all three are going to be big losses to WWE, they are going to be big boons to whoever can get them on the independent circuit or other established wrestling companies right now.
Yeah, and I think we need to clarify that Cody Rhodes asked for his release a week after the Black Friday. So I know you knew that, Darren. It's just I'm saving you from the emails and the tweets.
Thanks, babe.
But yeah, no, definitely. Damian Sandow, I think this is probably the best thing that could have happened to him. For whatever reason, I remember writing the blog, I can't remember how long ago it was, but basically, I just think he was kept around because he made Vince McMahon laugh. For whatever reason, WWE did not see anything in him. I have no idea why, I don't understand it. So him being released, I think is probably one of the best things that could happen to him, because he can go out there, he can do his own thing, he can show off his talent, both on the mic and in the ring. And hopefully, down the line, prove a lot of people wrong in WWE. Wade Barrett, we kind of knew anyway. It was reported heavily for a long time. To be quite honest, it didn't seem that Wade Barrett was happy in WWE for whatever reason. So, I'm not sure what his future plans are. He has talked about acting and things like that, and I don't know if I dreamt it, but I'm sure I read something about him talking about getting into sports commentating at some point. I know he's got a lot of options out there. Cody Rhodes, that's the one that I knew you were on holiday at the time, and I didn't know whether or not to email you and break your heart, Darren.
Yeah, you know my love and admiration for Cody Rhodes and how much I felt he could have been so much more. But to hear that the man himself was also sick of the Stardust character brought joy to my heart. I was reeling from his release, cursing the sky, but the fact that he was also annoyed and wanted free of that character so he could go back to being Cody Rhodes made me smile. And everything he's kind of done since has made me optimistic for the future of Cody Rhodes more than pessimistic. Because he came out with that list of people, and I was like, Cody Rhodes has good taste. Dalton Castle was number two on that list, and I was like, yes, sir, well done.
Oh, we can't go through one podcast without mentioning Dalton Castle.
No, we can't. I'm also going to mention R.D. Evans just to put him in there. Yes.
But what impressed me more than anything, and again, I wrote a blog about this last week, is that it was the guts that it took for him to just go out and basically say, okay, I could have a mid-card or lower mid-card position in WWE for a heck of a long time, but I feel I'm better than that. That takes a lot of guts.
You know what? And that can actually help him get to that high position in WWE somewhere down the line. If he goes away, because he's only 30 years old, let's not forget. He's super, super young. And whilst it may feel like he's burning a few bridges right now, and he's certainly not doing, you know, he's certainly not stepping on eggshells and saying, oh no, WWE is still the best, I just wanted to try something else. That he hasn't gone to the CM Punk extent of really, you know, torching them.
Yeah.
So I do feel there is a chance that if he goes away and really shows what he can do, like what Drew Galloway is doing, like what Jay Lethal did after his his TNA release, and really puts a lot of stock back into himself, I could easily see him coming back and getting to that point I always thought he could get to. And like I said, he's wasting no time. He's already ticking one name off his list. His first match on the independent scene will be against Kurt Angle. And I don't think it's going to be all that too long before he starts ticking off the other ones as well, because he wants to be in the Battle of Los Angeles. I think that's usually a summer tournament, so that's going to be some point in the coming months. And that's going to be a big deal for him. And we usually talk about the company, so I might as well mention it. I am basically counting down the days until he's in Ring of Honor.
That's what I was going to ask, actually. How do you think he would actually fit in ROH?
I think he'd be very, very warmly received by the fans. And I think that they've struggled for a long time to find somebody that feels legitimate enough to take the title off Jay Lethal. And I'm not saying that Cody Rhodes should walk into the company and automatically be the champion.
No.
But because of the name value, because of his family legacy, and because people would just be so happy to see Cody Rhodes back and not as Stardust, I think there'd be a lot of fan support. The people that sour on the fact that he's just walking into the company winning the title, I think they could be quelled a little bit by just like, no, Cody Rhodes is awesome. He's now in the best in-ring wrestling company in the world, as some people still think of Ring of Honor. That could be a very interesting way to transition that title away from Jay Lethal onto somebody that feels fresh, new, interesting, and get a lot of people to come to Ring of Honor to say, Cody Rhodes is a world champion now. Come see our product.
I agree to a point. I'm not as high as you on Cody Rhodes.
No, you knew that. I know.
But at the same time, I'm probably higher than a lot of other people are on Cody Rhodes. I think if he goes to ROH, he will get the opportunity to develop his own character, to develop his own persona. I think there are still question marks over his in-ring work, whether or not it's going to be up to the standard of an ROH. I think it can be.
I'm going to have to disagree with that, because I do think Cody, because this thing, he's been Stardust for over a year now. Yeah. We've seen him through that tinted lens. But admittedly, I got bored of the Stardust character and his mannerisms in the ring. But I think Cody Rhodes is just, he's never really been treated as the man, and therefore has not been able to give the man level performances. Now, I'm not completely sold and think he's a goddamn wrestling prodigy or anything, and that he should be world champion immediately and expect to be the best in every company he walks into. He's going to have to prove himself, but again, the combination of age, the raw talent he's shown, both on the mic and in the ring, I think he could be a really big... He's going to be a big addition to any roster that gets him right now, just because of the buzz and how he left WWE. He wasn't someone that was fired, he was someone that quit. That makes his value just that little bit more than all the people that were released.
Yeah,
I think wherever he goes, he's going to be good. And if he wants to wrestle most of the people on his list, he's going to have to go to Ring of Honor anyway.
Yeah, and please don't get me wrong, I do think he's got it in him, but he hasn't had a lot of opportunity recently to show that. And I do think that would be the only question mark, fairly or unfairly, over him, is whether or not he'd be good enough from a wrestling point of view to fit in ROH. I think he could do it, and I hope he gets the opportunity to do it. And as you said, I hope he does get the opportunity to wrestle Dalton Castle, because I think that would be not only good in the ring, but it'd also be fantastic out of it.
Glorious is the word I was looking for there. Well, as for the other two big releases, where do you think Wade Barrett goes immediately into a different wrestling company, or does do a Drew Galloway and just kind of comes home, comes into the UK scene as it is right now, as we've discussed many times, red hot right now, comes in and works over here for a bit before going back to a major company?
It's difficult to say, because if I remember rightly, he's quite good friends with Drew Galloway, so I can imagine there'd be a little bit of pull.
No.
I know, but...
Why?
But then again, have TNA got the money to sign a Wade Barrett at the moment?
True.
So, it's very difficult to say, only because he's keeping his cards so close to his chest. I know he has spoken about acting, and if he feels that the time is right now to transition into that, then, you know, then fair play to him. But at the same time, he's got so much to offer from a wrestling point of view. I keep telling this story, but when I went to see SmackDown being taped last year, he was in the what I call the Undertaker Dark segment, basically stood in the ring, just completely and totally ranted at the crowd for a good 5 minutes, and then took a big bump for The Undertaker. And he was fantastic, and it just showed a glimpse of what he can actually do. He's just such a good... He's got such good promo skills that he was so wasted in WWE. So I'm looking forward to seeing what his next move is.
I don't know if I was always just a little bit biased towards him, because I did really feel he was my one true great hope of having an English-born world champion.
Yeah.
And it never happened, and I'm very sad about that. Plus, there's no English guys in NXT right now, and I don't think Neville's ever going to be a world champion, so we're kind of back to square one with that one. But yeah, that bias aside, he has got that kind of charisma where I feel, should he not want to go into wrestling, TV presenting could be a thing for him. I think he could come back over here and put it this way, I could easily see him taking over a football show,
yeah,
or a sports show of that ilk, and kind of being there. And just being a straightforward presenter with a wrestling background. He has got that type of charisma. I didn't see him act in the movie he was in. I can't remember which one it was.
Neither can I. I was trying to think of it just now.
It had Colin Farrell in it and Terrence Howard, but I can't remember what the actual film was called. And I think he just played like a grunt anyway. He wasn't actually acting.
Yeah.
But there we go. Yeah, you are right with the Drew guy. I think he could end up in TNA. I think Damian Sunday is the more likely one to end up in TNA.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a sort of character.
Yeah, I could see him going there, and that's tragic. But, the man's going to get a payday out of it. Well, probably TNA, so you never know. But I think he's, of the two, I'd put my money more on Sandow ending up there. I want Wade Barrett to come home and do some English wrestling. He could really help. As much as the UK scene is gaining momentum, he could help it just push on that much more.
And get some credibility.
Yeah, people. A lot of eyes would return to it if Wade Barrett's over here being a world champion, more so than it was when Drew Galloway was over here, because as much as Drew had an okay WWE career, I don't think it was anywhere near as good as Wade Barrett's was over the long run. You know, coming in as the leader of the Nexus, being the multi-time Intercontinental Champion he is, being thought of as an actual world champion, not just told he was going to be a world champion one day like Drew Galloway was, could be really good. Hopefully he comes to Progress, which means we may get to talk about him, Hayden.
Yes, indeedy. Do you want to make the announcement, or shall I?
Well, I just want to point out I've just gone 3 for 3 with solid gold segues. Let that not be missed to anybody.
But can I just point out I actually missed that last one?
I said you're going to talk. I said you could come to Progress. And we could. It's lost on you, Hayden. It's lost on me.
You
can make the announcement, Hayden.
Well, last weekend was important weekend for Progress Rest, and they had two shows over two nights. And we're gonna record, hopefully, as long as it's on the on-demand service by next week, we are gonna be recording a review show for both nights.
Yes, if you want to actually get into Progress, they have a 7-day free sign up for their version of the network, basically.
Yeah.
So now is a great time to catch up, because this really is the hot. As much as the UK scene is hot, Progress is really the hottest company over here right now, I think. They're the one you want to be watching. And they have a monthly show, so it's not like it's a big investment of your time. They've had a lot of people come through that promotion as well in the early days. Finn Balor's come through there, Zack Sabre Jr. has come through there, and lots of other names have showed up there over the years. So a great chance to dive back into their archives. And yeah, hopefully next week we'll see the debut of our first Progress Wrestling review show, which is going to be very interesting indeed. A lot of wrestlers you may have heard of in passing, but never really had a chance to really look at in depth. We're going to be your gateways. We're pretty much going in, well, not blind. I've been to a Progress show. Hayden's watched quite a few now, having signed up for the network already. We're not completely blind, but this is going to be a new experience for basically everyone involved. So that's an exciting thing to do with wrestling. It's so rare that you get to go into something where you basically only know a few things, and you're just going to be, eyes wide open to all the possibilities there could be.
But I do want to point out, unfortunately, to all the people listening to this on the free side of things, it will be on the membership side. So again, that's another reason to put down your $7.50.
Hey, think that's a beautiful segue. Yeah. If you want to sign up for membership, we're just doing great segues today, people. This is the top professionalism you can expect from your pro wrestling membership. Just go over to the website now. The sign up page, cannot miss it. It's right at the top. And yeah, $7.50 a month, you get podcasts pretty much every single day. You'll be hearing from either the .NET Weekly Show or the reviews for all of the major American wrestling shows on a weekly basis. Also access to the forum, first run news, a whole host of interviews. And get that thing, you can go back into the archive and listen to all of the shows over the years that .NET has been around. All of the interviews, big name interviews that we've had recently and in the past. It's all there for you for the low, low sum of $7.50 a month. And again, you get a great podcast like this one featuring me and Hayden as well, I guess.
Hello.
Hello, Hayden.
The token Welshman.
The token. Well, I'm the token Englishman.
Well,
so
exactly. This is actually, why we work.
This is why you want to come to ProWrestling.net, because it's the only wrestling show that has, so wrestling website that has more British people than Canadian people. We don't have a single Canadian.
That's a very good point.
Yes. We're taking it back, Hayden. It truly is the British Invasion podcast.
That feels like another segue.
It could be. That has been the British Invasion podcast. Plug away, Hayden.
I don't really have much to plug at the moment because of my my pre-mentioned issues with my landlord. I haven't had any internet access, so it's been a bit difficult for me to actually do anything. But as usual, you can find me on Twitter at Hayden Gleed, or you can email me. The email address is on the website. Darren, you can plug away now, my friend.
Sorry, give me 2 seconds.
You got caught unawares by me not having anything to plug.
okay, that's good to go. Yeah. Well, you can find me on Twitter at The Guttridge. You can also go check out the sites I'm about to start writing for after my own website died in a fire. It is failentertainment.com. That's fail spelled F-O-U-L entertainment.com. Go over there. They just had a big month for content, and I'm on there right now in podcast form. You can go and listen to my review for X-Men Apocalypse, or you can go and listen to our fourth episode of our Pokemon specific podcast. I'm pitching Pokemon to a wrestling audience. I feel like there's some crossover. Like, me and Zim both love Pokemon, so there's a good chance that there's some crossover. Yeah, go and listen to that. Many of the review podcasts I've been on there over the years on that website. Yeah, and I will be writing articles for them very, very soon.
Excellent. I just want to point out that I don't particularly like Pokemon. I don't get it. The guy I sit next to at work loves Pokemon, and I just go, I don't get it.
You don't? Admittedly, Hayden, you are slightly older than me, so therefore you weren't at the right age when the boom happened.
No, I was more into getting drunk and chasing women at that point.
a much better pursuit, admittedly, but I implore you to play a Pokemon. Everyone should play one Pokemon game. It's a great experience. You'll love it, and so will you if you go and choose to listen to the podcast. That's a great segue. Five in a row. Goddamn, I'm good. See you next week, everybody, where we may or may not have ROH audio for you, depending on if they can put it up at a reasonable time. Goodbye, everybody.
Ta-da.